world is this. Then rescues and forgives. You suffered in our place to make us heirs of grace. You chose unworthy ones as daughters and as sons, redeemed to be your bride, the price for which you died. We are yours alone. Our life, our everything is yours alone. O King of mercy, make our hearts so strong. We are yours alone. You save us to proclaim the beauty of your name, to make your glory known, for we are not our own. We are yours alone. Our life, our everything is yours alone. O King of mercy, make our hearts so strong. We are yours alone. Within your people, your kingdom come, your will be done in us. Tear down our idols, we are your temple. May all our days unfold in praise to you. Hold our affections, pay my devotion. Oh, we adore forevermore. We are yours alone. Our life, our everything is yours alone. O King of mercy, make our hearts so strong. We are yours alone. Our life, our everything is yours alone. O King of mercy, make our hearts so strong. Hey man, you guys may be seated. I put that last song in there this morning because it goes with the sermon very much. And just now this morning, I understand how important this sermon is. Not because it's the greatest sermon ever done, but the content, the meaning, the heart. And it's not my heart behind it, it's what God's heart. Because being a believer in this world and being a faithful church according to Scripture is going to be the hardest things we ever do. And it's going to have its ups and its downs, and it's a fight. It's a struggle sometimes. And that's what the sermon is about. And so let us learn this morning, starting with myself, on down to all of you. Last time we looked at the warning of getting off on the wrong side of the fence. To reject Jesus Christ, to deny the gospel, to walk away, or just basically remain on the fence in unbelief, not committed. And we saw how dangerous that was from Scripture. Because especially if you walk away and you get off on the wrong side of the fence, rejecting Christ, rejecting the gospel, there is no way for you ever to be saved. Because there is only one way. and that is Jesus Christ. And if you reject it as a lie that's false, you don't want to believe that, it doesn't matter whatever else you want to put your faith in, whatever other religion out there or spirituality or whatever, it can't save you. You are doomed. Today I want to look at getting off the fence on the right side. Now, trust me, it's the best decision you can ever make. Get off on the right side, put your faith in Christ, be committed to Him. However, there is a warning for us as well. Life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same if you get off the fence, if you commit to Jesus Christ, if you are born again in Him, your life will never be the same. Because you have decided to get off the fence, turn your back on the world and put your faith in Christ, there's going to be hardships ahead. Now, we have hardships. That's normal in life. Everyone in this world goes through hard times because we live in a fallen world. But for the believer, you are taking a stance now. You are siding with God. You are wanting to be light and salt in a world that embraces darkness. So, for us, there will be extra hardships, struggles, sacrifices, and possibly suffering in getting off on the right side of the fence. Because we have entered into a war of good and evil, a war that most of the world doesn't realize the depth of it. They always know there's good and evil out there, but they don't understand the depth of the darkness, of the evil, and what the evil wants to do to them. Satan wants to destroy humanity. He wants humanity. He wants God to have to judge humanity. God loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. And so Satan wants Him to have to judge what He loves and He died for. It's sick. It's twisted. But it's the only way he can get at God. If he can destroy what God loves, it's even better for him. And so he hates humanity. He hates us because we're made in the image of God, the God he wants to be. The depth of the darkness, the deception, and most people are just lost in it and they think they're living a good life or they're getting what they want to do. And in reality, they're just on the road to destruction. This war of good and evil. You see, we've come into it. We understand. Our eyes are open now. We know there's a judgment coming. There's a hell and there's a heaven. And there are few who travel on the road to heaven. Few who find it. And many find the broad way. That's why we're supposed to be here as a church. We're set up right there where people are on the Broadway walking by us. And we're supposed to be trying to grab them and pull them, share with them the truth, warn them, stop going down the Broadway. It's the war we've entered. And we've entered this war as disciples. A disciple will be someone who will have to carry the burden of a cross. Your own cross of dying to self. To learn to walk not in your own ways, but in the ways of God. Not to serve yourself, but to serve God. Not to do your will, but His will. To walk in His Spirit. And we have to understand getting off the fence on the right side and aligning to God against what this world represents and the prince of this world. It's not going to be a rose garden. God never promises us a rose garden on this earth. He actually promised the opposite. I'll just give you two verses. John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. In 2 Timothy 3, yes, and all who desire to live godly according to the word, live godly in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution of some kind. For the believer in Jesus, our eyes have been opened. First, to our own sin and our need of a Savior. And as we grow in Christ, our eyes should be getting get more and more open. And we should be able to look back on ourselves and go realize how bad we really were. How lost we were. Maybe remember some of the crazy things we remembered, or crazy things we believed back then. And we realize how much God has saved us. How far He's brought us from the darkness and the deception that we lived in. But now, because our eyes are so open, we see the condition out in the world. We see what the world really is. Some believers have become desensitized to the lawlessness, the immorality, the ugliness that's out in the world. They become desensitized. Many times because they're taking part in it. But for the believer who's truly seeking Christ, who wants to serve Christ, who wants to help others find Christ, our eyes are open and the condition of the world, the depravity, the lawlessness, the perversion, the immorality, the darkness, the ugliness, and the suffering that it causes can make us angry. We can get angry. Like, why do the wicked get away with so much? Or maybe we can get depressed. It's depressing out there. Maybe it's depressing at work or at school. Maybe it's even depressing at home with family members who aren't believers. So how do we, as believers, who get off the fence on the right side, how do we deal with living in a world that is in complete rebellion to God? How do we navigate this world, keeping our joy, keeping our peace, keeping our focus, and not getting angry or depressed? Well, we have to understand this, that we deal not just with humanity, but we have to deal with the spiritual realm, the forces of evil, of darkness. They are real, they exist, and they are opposing the church, opposing believers. We have to deal with what we call spiritual warfare. We have to understand it's coming after us, and we have to understand and see it clearly. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is going to throw so many fiery darts at us. He's going to try to hit us in every direction. And the directions that you think He's going to hit you with, no, He'll hit you with something you're not even expecting. I'm not trying to give any credit to Satan, but he is wise in the ways of the world. He knows humanity. He knows us. And he knows how to trip us up. He knows how to make us fear and doubt and get angry and just... He knows how to push the buttons. And this is who we're up against. And we have to stand strong, not in our own strength, but in God's. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. May feel that way at times, but we really don't. Now, there are people who oppose us and come against us, and yeah, you're having to deal with them, but also you're realizing they're just being manipulated and used by the enemy. The real enemy is the powers behind the scene. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Before you put your faith in Christ, maybe when you were riding the fence, the enemy didn't care about you. You were already theirs. You were with them, and you didn't even know it. But once you get off the fence, and you want to be salt and light, if you want to serve the cause of Christ, if you want to be His church, then the enemy will focus on you. You see, you can ride the fence, have one foot with God and one foot in the world, and that's okay too with Satan. He's fine with that. But if you decide to commit, to really live this faith as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus Christ in this world, if you're going to be more than just play church or attend church, you're going to be the church, you're going to be salt and light wherever you go, in the workforce, at school, just out anywhere you go. One of our brothers was able to go for a hike, and it wasn't yesterday, but a hike last week, and he was able to share the gospel with two people. It's being salt and light wherever you go. You see, disciples, we live with that purpose. You see, when we get off the fence and we commit and we enter into the holy place, which is Christ, He is our identity. He is our purpose. And we see the big picture, our eyes are open. This world has nothing for us, and this world is heading to destruction. And everyone out there is going to end up in either heaven or in hell. Most of them are going to end up in hell. There might even be people here this morning that are going to end up in hell because they're not going to take this seriously. Because we just don't take it seriously. We're so caught up in ourselves and what we want sometimes. And hell and heaven and the kingdom of God and judgment, all that just seems so far away. And when it feels far away, maybe it doesn't even feel real to us. And so we're not concerned with people going to hell. The return of Christ, the judgment seat, the great white throne, all that's... So, since it's so far away, there's no urgency today. There's no urgency. But see, if we really believe what we say we believe, everyone is on their way to one of two locations. And the only thing that matters in this life is if you're found in Christ. Because if you're not, you can gain the whole world and in the end lose your soul. What have you gained? Nothing. And see, that's why we're here. And that's why we get off the fence. And we have to understand once we get off the fence, there is an enemy. And remember, the enemy wants to destroy humanity. The enemy wants people captivated with the cares of this life. They want us to waste our time with things that are not eternal. They don't want us to get serious about being the church. Oh, it's just okay to be a Christian. Just don't get too radical about it. Don't get that committed. Just let's be chilled about our faith. Let us be dignified. Let us just be dignified about it. And I'll be a good person. I'll attend church. But I'm not going to be worried about that war. I'm not going to warn other people. I'll be a good person. But I'm not going to get in the fight. I'm dignified. I'm a dignified believer. A believer, every day looking out there in the world and seeing all these people, or watching movies, TV commercials today, there's just so many who are lost, so many who don't get it. And us, they get it. Why are we not more concerned with those who don't? And it weighs on us sometimes. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, Levi, verse 11. This is where we left off last time. And we desire that each one of you, each one of us, show the same diligence. It's a full effort. It's a full commitment to the full assurance of hope until the end. The hope of being Christ. The assurance of life ever after with Christ. We're going to hold that hope. We're going to hold that assurance. Till the very end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. This is where we left off last time in the sermon. You see, each one of us is to imitate those who have faith and patience. Faith is the ability to trust God in the hardest and darkest times. When you don't understand why God is allowing you to go through such hard times. Patience is the ability to endure those hard times as we continue to follow Jesus. Not giving up, not falling back, not becoming sluggish, but who patiently endure whatever may come their way until the end, when the inherited promises will be fulfilled. This is what we are called to. To be people of unwavering faith and patience in this world that is on its way to hell. We can't lose focus. We can't lose hope. We can't get angry. We can't get depressed. We have to stay focused. And that's what I want to share with you as we close today. I only have one really section of scripture I want to share with you. Philippians chapter 2. Excuse me. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, because he is God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave. God on high to a human slave. No reputation. Not coming, hey, know who I am? You better worship me. You better listen to me. No. Coming as a humble baby born to two human beings to live a life of humbleness as God on high. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. Fully God, fully man. The likeness and appearance of a man. He was fully man. But he remained fully God, showing how humble. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He became the servant the Father sent him to be. He humbled himself as that servant, and he became obedient even when it cost him his life. Let this mind be in you. And let's just cut to the chase. Let's just drop the whole servant, bond servant. It kind of smooths out the real word. The real word is slave. A slave has no choice. A slave does what the master tells him to do, or her. A slave doesn't get to choose anything but obedience. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, He has saved us and He's brought us out of darkness. He's opened our eyes. And now the world we are in, the world we must navigate as disciples, we have to do it as service unto Him. We are going to have to humble ourselves because God's got to teach us a lot about being a good slave. You think you could be a good slave? None of us are good slaves. How hard does it have to be to become a good slave? It's actually a lot harder than you think. A good slave to the good master. Because a good slave is humble and obedient. And we are all far from that. We struggle with it. We struggle with obedience. We struggle with humbleness. And we struggle to serve Him. And attending church is not serving Him at all. Church is for us to encourage us, to grow us, to equip us. Now, Jesus was the ultimate slave, ultimate servant of God. Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God has exalted Him. Because He came and He humbled Himself and did exactly what the Father. Jesus said, I always do what pleases the Father. Oh, if I could say that. I wish I could say that. I wish. But you know, praise God, I don't have to because Jesus did it for me. I still want to serve Christ. I know I'm never going to be as perfect as Christ, but I want to try. We're on the right side, guys. You need to understand that. Christ is exalted. Even though the world does not recognize Him, even though the world uses His name as a cuss word, and our Lord is mocked in most places, or they've recreated Jesus into some other form than what He truly is according to Scripture, even though the world does not exalt Him, we're on the right side. And one day, when it's right, the Ancient of Days will call the Son of Man towards Him. And the scroll will be given. And Christ will return. And the kingdom will be established. But until then, we know we're on the right side, but until that day happens, we have to remain focused on what God has called us to be. Philippians 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation, the Apostle Paul tells them, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. The Greek word here for work out means to continually work to bring something to completion. You see, getting off the fence, putting your faith in Christ, to be found in Him, is to be born again, to be saved, is the first step. It's the correct first step. You're found in Christ. You're saved. You're born again. Receive the Holy Spirit of God. You can say, I'm saved. I have salvation. But that's only the first step of it. It's a done deal. You are saved. You have salvation. It can never be taken from you. But there's more to being saved than just a ticket into heaven when you die. The next step is to allow God's salvation to run its full course in you. What it means to be a saved person, a born-again person. It's not, like I said, just getting into heaven. It goes further than that, or it's supposed to in the believer. It's not about something in the future you're going to receive. It's now. It's who you are. It's going to change you. Excuse me. Being saved is going to change you. It's going to become what it means to be you. It's your identity. You belong to Jesus because you've been purchased by Him. That's what salvation means. If you are saved, then you are owned by Jesus Christ. There's where we have the slave aspect. You're owned. He purchased you. Salvation, now that you're a purchased possession of Christ, your life is no longer about you. And our lives now in the hands of God are to be changed. We are to become these living sacrifices. He may not necessarily call you out of the occupation you have. He may not say, pack up, sell everything, I'm going to send you to the mission field. He may not do that with you. Again, he might, but most of the time you're going to remain where you are. Maybe in the job or occupation you are at. But he's going to say, listen, you're mine now. You represent me. And I'm going to use your life for my cause. And we have to let him. And it can cause us maybe sometimes to lose friends or family, or can make life hard for us, maybe on the job or at school. Persecution, sacrifice, suffering might come into play. But you see, we're this saved person. And the salvation we have is, and we're working it out, what it means to be saved. It means I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I am a tool in His hands. I am clay for Him to mold and use as He sees fit. I'm willing to sacrifice my life. It's no longer about what I want, but Him. And this is so hard, I understand. Especially if you're a young teenager or young adult. What I'm saying is probably harder for you than it is for someone that's older. I do know what I am teaching here this morning, and it's not easy. But it is about surrendering to the one who saved you, who owns you. It's about accepting your new identity. If you're really a believer, if you're not riding the fence and you've gotten off and you're committed to Christ, this is what it means to follow Him. You're His church now. It's not about, well, will I go to church or not? Will I really help out in church? I don't know. No, you are the church. Period. If you go to church to be entertained or have some great worship experience because it's all about you, well, then you're missing the whole point about church. We come here to encourage one another because probably some of us have really had a hard week trying to be out there in the world and labor for the Lord. It beats you up. It beats you down. As believers, we can be, by the end of the week, we've been kicked, we've been hit, we've been disappointed, we've failed God, we hear the voices, what a terrible believer you were this week. And it can just wear you down. So we come here. I know sometimes I do, maybe I'm putting too much on people. I come here to see people and be encouraged by you brothers and sisters to realize I'm not alone in this. My brothers and my sisters have my back. And I want to have theirs. I hope I can encourage you and you can encourage me. I mean, literally, we should be able to get all of our encouragement from God and from His Word. And that is true, but, you know, none of us are perfect and we need each other. That's why God formed the church. To work out our salvation means we're going to actively pursue obedience through the process of sanctification. Paul describes his journey, his working out his salvation in Philippians chapter 3. He describes it as straining or pressing towards the mark of the upward call of God. Because that's all that mattered in his life, was to serve the God who saved him. All right, I'm almost out of time. I'm going to skip ahead. Skip ahead to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Okay. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning this fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You see, folks, when we get off the fence and we commit to Jesus Christ, we call out to Him to save us, and He saves us. And then maybe we get baptized. We feel we want to be obedient to God, so we baptize before the world, and we declare to the world, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And then we set out to do that. And the enemy says, let's see what sort of character this is. So the enemy comes at you. It wants to push you back from that. It wants to push you back to the fence. The enemy wants to put you back on the fence or even on the other side. Once you get off the fence and you decide, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, I'm going to be salt and light, then the enemy says, that's who we go after. That's who we want to destroy. And they come at you. I've known believers who wanted to serve Christ and started down the path of discipleship and sanctification to be that light and to be that salt, to be used by God. And what happens? Life falls apart. I mean, everything that could go wrong goes wrong. It's just like the floor collapses out from under them. And then you start wondering, why is everything going wrong? I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, but now it's like He's forgotten about me. My life is falling apart. It's gotten so hard. God, where are you? What are you doing? And you have to understand, the enemy is doing it. The enemy is bringing its forces against you because he doesn't want you to stand there in the armor of God and be salt and light. He wants to beat you down. And God is allowing it because we have to learn to depend on His strength and not our own. He allows us to go through the hard times. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. God allows the trials so we will turn to Him and draw on His strength. We don't want to get like, oh, it's all about us. Because it's not. It's about Christ. We're just slaves. Do not think it's strange concerning this fiery trial which you is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. As believers, If you want to, if you're living godly, you will suffer persecution. Why? Because you're living for Christ. You're showing Christ. The world hated Christ. The world crucified Christ. If you're living like Christ, then you should be suffering in some way as a believer. You should rejoice in that. Then when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. And on their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. Modern Christianity, the false version, says church is about you. It's about feeling and experiencing God so you feel all warm and fuzzy inside and entertain you, tickle your ear. Modern Christianity says that's what church is be about. But the reality is, Jesus called us to be slaves. He suffered. Jesus, our master, suffered and was hated by this world. The 12 disciples suffered and suffered and were hated by this world. The early church that spread the gospel through the Roman Empire and changed the world suffered. So why do today in 2026 do we think the church should be comfortable and that we should just be have it easy? We shouldn't. We're in a war. But I think many Christians have forgotten about that or just become callous to it or closed their eyes to it and they're not concerned about it. That's somebody else's problem. That's not the heart of a believer. If you have Christ in you, Christ came to save that which is lost. Christ always wanted to do what pleased the Father. If Christ is in you, you should have those same thoughts and desires. Come on up, team. I skipped over several of my notes because I got hit this morning too. I'll be honest with you. It was a tough morning. I'm sick of having tough mornings like that on Sundays. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Because I'm not content. You know, there's another verse real quick. I'm going to show you one more verse. I'm sorry. Go to slide 33. You guys can just stand by. Right? Cool? Yeah. I'm just going to be real transparent before you this morning. I struggle here as the pastor sometimes. Why? Because I'm insufficient. And I'm not trusting God enough. Sometimes I'm a big baby. I hate to say that about myself. Any of you say that? Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. This complaining and disputing, when you look in context and you read it, it's about complaining about God. God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? God, don't you care? Don't you love me, God? God, you're not doing what I think you should be doing. What kind of slave tells the master, you're not doing it right? What kind of slave complains about the master? A big baby. Sometimes I do. And I let this morning, I started feeling, I hate it. We all struggle with this. No matter who we are, what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, we will struggle in our service to Him. But that's why we need each other. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need to take our faith seriously. If you want to ride the fence, the enemy's got no problem with that. And you can do that. God won't force you. But if you really get it and you want to get off the fence and commit to Christ, that is the best thing you'll ever do. But be warned, believer, your life is going to become hard. We are not greater than our master. And our master's life was hard. But God will give you the strength to get through it. And you're going to make plenty of mistakes. But His grace is sufficient. Stay the course. Don't let this world get you sidetracked. I promise to stay the course. You promise me to stay the course. And we'll do it together. This world, this town needs this little church. Because this is one of the few places where you'll hear a biblical gospel. And you'll be taught the Word of God correctly. Even if your pastor at times is a big baby. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask You to help us humble ourselves before You this morning and to show how desperately and understand how desperately we need You. We need Your grace every day, sometimes every hour of day, every moment of the day. What You have called us to is great. It's wonderful. It's to be a child of God, to have the future, the hope that we have, Lord. It's more than we deserve. And one day our future will be bright and it'll be glorious and it'll be amazing. But until then, Lord, life is about being Your slave, Your servant. In Your church, to be light and salt in a very dark, crooked, and perverse generation, as Your scripture says. And it's hard, Lord. You know it. You walked it. You lived it. You know what we're going through. You're not a high priest that is distant, that can't sympathize with what we deal with, but You walked it. You walked our steps. You became one of us. You humbled Yourself. Came and served us. And walked in our steps. And since You did that, Lord, we can follow You. And I ask You to help us to do that. And I pray that this sermon, we all learn from it, and I hope it came across where we can't understand it. Some of the times, Lord, we feel like such failures, and today I feel that. We can feel like a failure as a disciple, but Lord, we just put our failures at Your feet. And we trust You. And we ask You to help us. Help us to be Your church, to be disciples, as Your word calls us to be. We pray this in Your name. Amen. I ask you to sing this last song with me because we need Him. We need Him so much. It's okay to recognize that. So let's sing. Let's break out of here and count on three. I do love you very, very much. I do. I'll be praying for you this week. I ask you to pray for me. And let's go out this week. No matter what we may be facing out there, you're not alone. If you need anything, you holler, you call us. And let's go out there and be his slaves. Let's go be out. Let's go be his team. Let's go be salt and light. Let's try to help someone find the truth. We've got a great mission ahead of us. It's an honor, it's a privilege to go out and be his light and his salt. So let's go do it. Let's break out of here on count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.